Bimini's Biloxi Blues, it happens every night. And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
I have not.
Summer heat never treats me kind, it leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time. This highway does not know my name, and I don't care.
No, I don't care.
Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare.
Right to the hook.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Low budget live, not so live from the low budget live bar and grill, bar and bunker right now more than ever before. Dang, man. Dang. I hope all you low lifers are doing well out there. This is the podcast for Monday, December 21st. And I know all y'all dudes are in trouble just like I am. I know you ain't got your wives the right thing. I know you ain't got enough things. I know you probably ain't even been shopping yet. And I talk about this every year on here, but I just, man, I feel this crazy pressure at Christmas every year. I hate it. I hate it. Like, I listened to one of my favorite comedians talk about that this week. If you're an adult and you're still asking for stuff for Christmas, shame on you. That's what I feel like. Shame on you. Like, you ought to be able to just get it for yourself. Or don't ask somebody. Get stuff for the kids. Take care of people that need it. I don't know. And I'm just out here struggling, driving the struggle bus. I don't have my wife anything that will even matter, you know, because I feel like, and I'm calling you ladies out, I feel like if it's short of jewelry or a new car or something, when you get to be the age that I am, that it just don't even matter anymore. That just don't even matter. Y'all comment below if I'm right. But I feel this crazy amount of pressure. And man, I don't do good with Christmas, man. I don't do good with Christmas. But this is your reminder. This is the last reminder you're going to get from me. Because by the time you hear LD and the MC on Wednesday, it'll almost be too late. It'll almost be too late. So you better get to Amazon and get to doing whatever. I wish all you men out there Godspeed. Because I know the ladies that listen to this, I would say, you know, good luck to y'all, but y'all always kill it. Women are just like, dude, they're just dialed on Christmas. They out here, they getting your brother something, your nieces, your nephews, your mom and dad. I mean, they got it on lock. They take care of all the kids' stuff. And all we got as men is just one damn responsibility. And I feel like most of us fail more times than not. But I would like to vote that we just don't get each other anything but hugs. You know what I'm saying? Whew. But Merry Christmas week to y'all. It's always a fun time, especially with a house full of youngins around here, except for when I let the triple threat down, which is inevitable every year. We've been at this for a while. It's inevitable. I will do it. I'll get the wrong thing. It's coming. But Christmas is a beautiful time. I hope you guys and gals out there, the low lifers, are getting to spend it with your families. And like I said, we are at the low budget live bar and bunker because Tennessee, we just out here, we can't win football games. We got a terrible situation in Knoxville with some football, but the Titans are making us look pretty good. But we're setting records. We're setting records, but not the good kind. We got the highest freaking COVID cases in the world right now in my state. In the world. It's a big world. And it's like one out of every 100 Tennesseans right now is like, got the vid, baby, got the vid. Whew. It's crazy. And I'm just out here thinking about, you know, I personally know a lot of people that have lost some loved ones recently to COVID, and damn sure don't want to see my dad get it. And man, it's just, this vaccine's got to get here, and we all got to get to getting shot up with it, get this stuff out of here, hopefully. Dang, man. But yeah, that news came out this week, Tennessee. And you go anywhere and people are still like, I ain't wearing a mask. You won't make me do it. It's a shame, man. If one little inconvenience might save somebody's life, maybe we all ought to just bring her down a notch. Bring her down a notch with that. These cats around here, man, they're not buying into that notion, it doesn't look like. But I can tell you, it's no fun. The vid, I'll leave it at that, but it is no fun. Take it from your boy. It is no fun. I don't know. I don't know what's going to come of all this stuff, but I do know that it is going to be a little different Christmas around these parts, I feel like, because of it, to say the least. So y'all stay safe out there. Y'all stay safe out there. And Merry Christmas from Low Budget Live. Want to say a huge, huge thank you to the fine folks at StarTron for kicking ethanol in the teeth and bringing you Low Budget Live and Low Budget Live Not So Live and the Traveling Circus and Luke Duncan Fishing for several years now. A little dab will do you right here, this old blue juice. It'll kick ethanol right in the teeth, in your weed eater, in your UTV, in your SUV. How about that, huh? Put it in that, in your soccer mom ride. Put it right in there. Get ethanol. Take it away. Put it in your lawnmower right now when you ain't using it as much. If you got some gas left in there, but you don't want that bad gas ruining anything, get you some StarTron. And remember that nothing ruins a great day on the water like an outboard engine that won't run because it's stupid old ethanol. And all you had to do was get you a bottle of this. Shake it up. Put it in your tank. And it kicks it in the teeth right there. Thank you to the fine folks at StarTron. Also want to say a huge thank you to the folks at Sims Fishing Products for bringing you Low Budget Live, bringing you great products like the Pro Dry Rain Suit, so many other things. They got some really cool flannels. I know y'all see me rocking them flannels. I love me a flannel shirt. I got way too many, but I love me a flannel shirt. And they got all kind of layering stuff. Tis the season for that, and I am here to remind all of you low-lifers that you get one life. Fish it well. And last, but certainly not least, the fine folks at Express Bass Boats out there in Hot Springs, Arkansas. As you heard last week, Mr. Jason Christie making a big move into that Express Yamaha, and I cannot wait to get my X21 Pro here shortly. Things are getting real, folks. Real. We're gonna have that boat very soon. So I want to thank the amazing people at Express Boats for believing in the Traveling Circus and Low Budget Live and letting me be a part of that family. So thanks to them, and thanks to y'all. As always, thanks to y'all. None of this would be possible without the amazing listeners and viewers of LBL. All right, let's jump on into some fishing. Did a dang music podcast on Friday and snuck that in there on you, and I think some of y'all missed the memo, so make sure to go back and watch that with my friends Town, the band Town. They did a live performance or two on here. It's really cool. I've been knowing those folks for a long time, but today we're going to get into this fishing, and finally, we're going to start it off. Finally, with the NPFL. Been seeing comments, when are you going to talk about NPFL, Luke? When are you going to talk about it? National Professional Fishing League, you're going to be a part of it. When are you going to talk about it? Well, my stance has been, I'm going to talk about it when we get a dadgum schedule. And you know what? We got a dadgum schedule now. And I don't know if you fine lowlifers saw that this week, but we announced our schedule this past Monday, and man, I could not be more excited. I think the schedule is really good. I think given the time that we're in, given their position of being a first-time league, we're going to some great places at some great times, and we're going to some new places. Of course, I've talked schedules to death on here, but you see a lot of people, you know, throw out there that they get tired of seeing the same lakes at the same times, and so we're really breaking that mold. You know, we're kicking off down at Lake Eufaula. and you fall to Alabama in the middle of March there. Should be a slugfest. Then we go to Wright-Patman Lake outside of Texarkana, Texas. And to my knowledge, no pro trail's ever been there. Super excited about that one all the way around. I think it's going to be a really cool event. Got some really good potential. I know we got some locals in the field, local Texas guys that could show up and show out there. Then we go down to the Harris Chain in Florida, which is, you know, a typical tournament venue for professional that level. But we're going last week of May, first week of June, and I think that one is going to rock some people's worlds as far as what they think that event will be. I think it'll be just big weights, a lot of big fish weighed in. And some surprising techniques, maybe even, because those lakes are different. You know, they fish a little different than a lot of those Florida lakes. They're not necessarily shallow bowls. They've got some depth to them. They got some deeper grass in places, a lot of matted vegetation. But then you got some, you know, some weird things with the channels and different things. So I don't know. I think that one's going to be really cool. Then we go to Pickwick, and I'm super proud of my home state. I've got one reason to be proud of them this week. Not that we're leading the COVID charge, but that we, Counts, Tennessee, Pickwick Landing State Park. They jumped out there, and we're going there. We're going to Pickwick, but we're going out of the Tennessee end in July. Very exciting. Of course, the Bassmaster Elite Series guys will be there in June, but we're going to be there in July. It'll look a little bit different because of the vegetation in the lake, I feel like, then, and you'll still have some ledge stuff, but be lots of things at play in July. I think that'll be a really, really cool event. So the first four, really, you know, there's some unknowns in there, but really cool. And then we go to Lake Winnebago, which the only professional event to be up there, to my knowledge, is BPT in year one. They didn't have a great event, but they still had the 1 pound minimum at that point. So it's really hard to judge it. Been getting a lot of messages that it's a killer fishery. We'll see how that one shakes out. I have no idea. I don't know anything about that lake. And then we're going to end the year at Grand Lake, first week of October, Grove, Oklahoma. And that one's going to be a tough one, man. Everybody knows that all lakes in the South or Midwest are really, you know, they're stingy that time of year, that fall transition time of year. But it's going to be a great place to, you know, decide the first ever NPFL Angler of the Year. And it'll be, it's going to be really cool, man. I think that, you know, this thing is becoming more and more, you know, legitimate and real every single day to me, because, you know, we have a lot of planning and a lot of talks. And I have said numerous times, like, until there's a schedule, set in stone schedule, with contracts in place with cities, you know, it still doesn't feel real. We can talk it to death in meetings and different things, but man, we're moving into the stages of planning even more things. And so it looks like we're going to try to broadcast these from the events. So make plans. If you're anywhere around any of those cities, go look at the schedule. It's on the MPFL social. It's on my social. Make sure you're following those guys, National Professional Fishing League, the National Professional Fishing League. But going to be at every event. And if, you know, 2021 will chill out a little bit compared to 2020, I got a lot of plans at these events for some lives and some different things, okay? So stay tuned, low lifers. But I think that the inaugural year of the NPFL is going to be a lot of dang fun, man. And we got a lot of great anglers, and I'm getting to know a lot of the anglers that I don't know, and I'm looking forward to getting to know everybody really well in 2021 and sharing everybody's story through that live coverage. Got to text our guest real quick. Really excited about our guest today. So I think that, you know, overall, I think the schedule's, like I said, is strong. You know, you've got the gaping hole in the schedule was having like a big smallmouth fest kind of tournament. But man, those northern states, as I've addressed before, because of the Elite Series and different things, with their schedule, they're just not all in, I feel like, on having guys from all over the country there. I that's just my overall opinion. You know, I think the Elites do have a couple, but hopefully in 2022, the league will end up somewhere like that. Because I love those big smallmouth events, and it gives me an excuse to be in smallmouth country at great times, and I will never complain about that. You know, NPFL was not the only schedule that came out this week. We saw the Bassmaster Open schedule drop, as the kids say, and looks good overall. I think it looks really good. They went back to their former format, which I like it. They went three divisions with three tournaments each. They brought back that Northern division. And, you know, the guys that they're going to do the same points deal they did last year, where the people that fish them all get, you know, kind of there's a points championship out of that, the Falcon Rods Angler of the Year thing from last year. But you have an extra event, though. You got to fish nine. It's a lot of dang tournaments. But if you're trying to make the Elite Series, you're going to have to fish a lot of tournaments anyway. So it's a lot of sacrifice. I think they got three around the April time frame combined from different divisions. Man, it's going to be crazy. But I can tell you your boy here is looking pretty hard at that Central Division, because they're coming down to Pickwick and Smith Lake and going to end up on Grand Lake. And I happen to like all those places, and I got a little itch. And I think that will definitely work out with my NPFL schedule. And so might see me out there slinging. Might see an old Express running up and down those lakes a little bit and those Bassmaster Opens. I miss seeing everybody. And 2020 has sucked because of that. I haven't got to see any of my fishing family really since the Classic. And so definitely keeping an eye on that. But I thought the schedule was good. I see a lot of complaints, but there's no West Coast because I feel like the participation always sucks when they go West. FLW's tried it. Like, the numbers are not, I don't know, man. I'd love to see it personally. I think that it's, if 150 to 200 guys out West would show up, they dang sure would have it, you know? I saw that about the NPFL, you know, inaugural year in this COVID year. They ain't coming out West, man. They're not coming out there. You can't ask 125 dudes to in there. And I know we got some West Coast anglers, may upset some of them, but you can't ask the majority of your base, which is, you know, East Coast, Southeast, Midwest anglers, to go out West in year one. Now, will they go out West at some point? I think so. But, you know, to think they would in year one, because I've seen those comments. Man, it's just amazing fisheries, but logistically, it's a freaking nightmare. So I think everything's out now, pretty much. So you got some decisions to make out there, all you anglers. Are you going to fish the Toyotas? Are you going to fish the Opens? Are you already signed up for the NPFLs? There's just a couple spots left. What's your goal? Are you going to make the Elite Series? A lot of guys, you know, the Elite Series list is finalized now. A lot of guys that didn't get in. I think there's some that still want in, of course. And, it's going to be interesting to see what people do in 2021, you know. I talked to a good friend of mine this week that fished all the Opens this year that acted like he might not fish the Opens next year. I'm going to do something else. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's certainly interesting times, and we've never had, you've got a lot of options, you know. We've never had this in pro fishing, I feel like, especially with the addition of the league throwing in there and big money, high entry fees, but great payout and live coverage. You know, it gives people another option. You know, if you don't like what's going on at one place, you can definitely go check out another. So, and from the looks of the Open schedule, now if you fished all of the Opens, it would be cramped, but you could fish all the Opens and the NPFL as well. And I mean, you probably wouldn't have a wife when you got home, and maybe not a job, but it's a lot of dang fishing, but it can definitely be done, looks like, to me. All right. So my guest today is a guy you're starting to hear his name a lot. I feel like I am. I feel like he's really burst onto the professional fishing scene. And I know he's been at it for a long time, and he's been fishing competitively for a very long time. But he is a classic qualifier from his win at the Bass Nation Championship down on Pickwick Lake. He, of course, won that event. He won the He double qualified by winning that. He qualified for the Bassmaster Elite Series and then double qualified through the Eastern Opens. Not a cakewalk. So he double qualified there, which is amazing. And he is having one heck of a year. He won the Northern Regional for the Bass Nation to get down to Pickwick. His name is Pat Schlapper, and I'm saying it wrong, but we're going to get it from him. And I'm excited to talk to him today.
Yo.
What's up, Pat?
Not much.
So you text me earlier that you're feeling a little under the weather. Has that gotten better or worse since the last text?
Well, it's gotten a little better. I've just been kind of relaxing. My wife's been taking care of me. I've been drinking a lot of Gatorade, kind of laying around. I haven't had a lot of time to relax this pretty much the last. So.
Yeah, you've been on the roll a little bit.
I've been on the road a lot. Yes, a lot.
Yes, you have. I noticed. So you just got back from Texas out there scouting around for the Classic?
Yep. I was down there I was on the water for 5 days, but I had one day where I was doing some film work for one of my sponsors. So really, 4 days on the water trying to get around the lake a little bit.
Okay. What did you think overall? I hear it's treacherous. As far as the standing timber and things?
It is. There is a lot of timber on parts of the lake, and that's one of the reasons I went down there, try to learn how to navigate that. But honestly, I think I'm just going to give her, just drive through it. I mean, as much idling as I did, I only laid down a couple tracks where I feel like, I'm comfortable, but it's just... I was staying with Matt Robertson. He was down there with me, too, and he said the same thing. He's like, dude, I think you just got to go. You just got to give her. I think I'm going to do that. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. When I get down there, the official practice days, I'll kind of gauge what the water level is and do a little more digging into it. But I mainly just wanted to try to get around as much of the lake as possible and see how it's set up and make some predictions where – possibly in March it could go down, but yeah. We'll see, I guess.
Well, I think that I have a theory, and a lot of other, former pro anglers and pro anglers, current pro anglers have this thought process too. If I can't see it, I can't hit it.
Yeah. And I run the Mississippi River all the time. So I kind of, and I've spent a lot of time like on Falcon Lake. I spent a ton of time on Falcon Lake where it's not so much timber there as it is just bushes with some bigger stuff mixed in. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I spent a lot of time looking for stuff outside the timber also. Okay. So it's just going to depend on how the spring sets up, if it's something where they are up on the bank or if I can stay out, deeper, which is what I would prefer to do. We'll see. I don't know. It was more of a, we didn't catch a ton of fish. We caught some nice ones, but it was more about just getting around the lake and trying to learn a little bit about, where I think some stuff might happen.
So let me ask you this because I get these questions a lot about pre-fishing and the importance of pre-fishing. Is there anything in the back of your mind right now, a worry at all that what if they move the date to the Classic? Because, that's kind of some of the rumor out there that potentially with this COVID deal, depending on what happens, they do have a backup date. Is your pre-fishing, obviously you're getting to know the lake better, and it's not like you're trying to nail down a pattern right now for March, but do you have some concern that that could change the overall complexion of the event?
No, dude, I don't worry about that stuff because I can't control it. Whatever. If they change it, this whole year was like that.
That's a fact.
I just don't. I can't do anything about that. If they move it, then they move it. And, the way I look at it is even if they move it till the fall or wherever it's going to be, I don't even know when the makeup date is. At least I was out there and I got around the lake and I can make some predictions for that time of the year, too.
That's
it's
right.
Just one of them deals. I can't, I think this whole year, that whole mindset with a lot of people messed with them when they changed all them dates for the opens, and it was more to the fall. And I think so many people worried about what they were supposed to do when the other tournaments were going to happen. It's like, it don't matter, man. You just got to go figure out what you can figure out when the tournament is. It's just, you can't worry about that stuff.
I would agree with that I think that it changed the overall complexion of who did well. I really do. Cause there's some guys I follow that I know really well that are great fishermen. They don't fish in the fall. They don't fish in the fall. And it really, it seemed like they were uncomfortable and out of their element. And great fishermen are great fishermen, but there were some guys that struggled way more in those fall events than I really figured would struggle. And you could see it's like a constant complaining on social media a little bit about fall events and how tough they are and blah, 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 blah. And I love fall fishing. This has been my favorite, as crazy as this is to say, in 2020. It's been one of my favorite years of bass fishing and keeping up with professional fishing, in that the elites fished in the fall for the first time in forever, and the events were tough, and I love that. And then having all these opens, man, it was, and with the so much on the line, it was really cool to keep up with. So you double qualified for the Elite Series by winning the nation championship down here in Florence, Alabama, which is just right down the dang street from me, and a place where I cut my teeth and went to the school down at the University of North Alabama. So I'm proud that that awesome lake plays a part in your story, man. And seeing you pull that big bag of smallies the last day was really impressive. I know a lot of locals were like, dang, man, that was a great stringer, as tough as the fishing had been.
Yeah, I had it was pretty cool because, you know, I know a lot of these big name guys fishing in the opens. You know, I know who they are. They don't know who I am because I'm just a peon. But it was pretty cool the last, you know, on Lay Lake after the first day, Justin Atkins came up to me and he's like, man, I got to give it to you. That was crazy what you did. And that was, I can't believe that bag of fish. I fished, you know, I live there.
That's right.
To pull those, you know, and then he started digging a little bit about what was going on. I didn't give him a whole lot, but it was just kind of cool to see that and hear, have someone like that come up to me and kind of know who I was, at least after that tournament. So,
yeah, it was cool reading about your adjustment the last day, because I, you know, obviously when you fish a lake as much as I fish Pickwick and grew up on it and cut my teeth on it, it was cool seeing, I like seeing the pictures from every day at the way, and I was actually looking back at that today. You know, you got largemouth, you got some spots thrown in there, and then the last day you catch this just bruiser bag of smallies. Yep. And I wanted to ask you this from just, and this is just me being nosy, did you have to change areas a lot in that event, or were all those fish, because I mean, I know that time of year, all those fish live in very similar areas at times. Were you catching all those fish close to each other, or were you pretty spread out?
No, I was fishing pretty much from the dam down to the Natchez Trace Bridge.
So pretty big section.
Pretty
of lake.
Big yeah. area, but I, you know, honestly, I banked on smallmouth. I mean, I went down there pre-practice and I didn't spend a second in the grass at all. I just wanted to 100% avoid that because I figured it was going to change in that month's time. You know, I love grass fishing, but I just didn't want to get caught up in that. I spent all my time looking for smallmouth and current, trying to predict where they might migrate to that time of year, doing the research I had done, and just understanding what smallmouth do on river systems in the spring and the fall. And the largemouth that I ended up catching in that tournament, I found those fish, honestly, the last half day of practice. I didn't spend any time looking for them. I spent all my time looking for smallmouth and current, and I found them. But that largemouth, I mean, I found one of those barge tie-up pillar things that had some, which in practice, they had. I caught one, the last day, I caught one nice spotted bass on it. Well, the first day of tournament, I ended up catching two really good largemouth and another keeper largemouth. And then I found one area in the last 20 minutes of practice where I caught a couple keepers. And that's where I ended up going into the second day and getting on them pretty good. I mean, that kind of salvaged my second day. I had a decent bag, but I went in there and called, you know, three times And that was my game plan that last day, was to go run a couple smallmouth spots I had and kind of push it a little bit more on them smallmouth, because the first 2 days I was only catching them for about the first hour, and then I couldn't catch them anymore.
Yeah.
So the last day I was like, I'm going to go try to catch some smallmouth till 10 o'clock. I don't care. That's if I'm going to blow it out of the water, that's how I'm going to do it. But then I was going to go into that one area and just fish around like I had been the second day, because I knew there was really good ones in there. And I was, the second day I just was driving around fishing, and that's how I caught them. So I spent, honestly, you know, probably 5 hours fishing largemouth the whole time of practice. So I got fairly fortunate to find them, but also, once again, just going back on my experience fishing the Mississippi River in the fall, I kind of know the areas, similar areas where they should be going. And that's basically what I did, is just look for that half day, and I found some of them. So
that's awesome.
It saved me.
I always like hearing guys compare where they're from to, you know, where they're having to compete. Because was that, I'm guessing you said you pre-fished, so that was probably your first couple times at Pickwick?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'd never been there. I mean, I had watched a lot of different events down there. I had a couple buddies who had fished down there before, but different times of the year. And I, you know, it's just, you kind of, I just felt like for me, if I was going to win that tournament, it was going to be with smallmouth, and it was going to be finding something that those other people were going to overlook, or just, I mean, I have so much experience fishing current because of where, I mean, I live an hour from some of the best stretches of the Mississippi, and I fish with some of the best people that know how to fish current. You know, one of them is your biggest fan, Matt Larson. He's just crazy good at fishing current, and I've fortunate enough to fish some tournaments with him over the years, and he's taught me so much about smallmouth migration and how they position in current that I just felt like, man, if I can unlock that those, a lot of those other guys, not that the other guys aren't good fishermen, but I just felt like if I could leverage my knowledge of that I could potentially win that tournament.
That's awesome.
And that's why I spent so much time doing it. It ended up paying off, obviously. But the first couple days, I had to go fish other ways, but I still started each day with, you know, three or four good ones in the box off my smallmouth stuff.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, it's I think current for a lot of people, it's very intimidating. I mean, hell, it's still intimidating for me, man. I've lived here my whole life, and it's constantly changing. It's where I feel the most comfortable, you know, is fishing in current. But it's certainly a different experience than what you face a lot of places.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, people are like, oh, yeah, I was fishing current. They think I'm fishing some lazy meandering little.
No, sir.
It's like, no, man, I'm on 100 with an
all day
112 yep. with Battleborne batteries. And I'm barely maintaining. Mm-hmm. You're still drifting back, you know, and to try to get a bait to go to where you need it to go to get bit. It's hard. Even, I mean, that's why I didn't find that, you know, that the group that I ended up catching all them giants out of, I was 75 yards away from them all the practice and the tournament. And I just missed it because that current was so fierce that it wasn't an obvious, you know, there's a point there behind it, or there's a, you know, it was just not like that.
Yep.
So, and then, you know, when I did end up catching that last day, I'm like, how many other spots did I miss in all them days of practice? It's just, that's the hard part about current, is there's so many more variables.
You know, and it's a lot like fishing grass in that sense, where there's plenty of places to hide. And if you're off by 50 yards, you can miss the biggest school in the lake.
Oh, you can be off by 5 feet.
That's right. Right. And so I think it's, I was reading about, you know, how you adjusted and everything, man, I thought that was really cool, especially being from here. But we'll talk about how, because I read a post that you made and you said, and used the term haters, which I love. And you said you were really proud to double qualify because it kind of silenced people that thought you got lucky. Because you can get technically, which I hate when people say this, you can get lucky and win one event. I think we can all mm-hmm. say that. You can get lucky. Yep. I think it's harder in a multi-day event, especially against the competition that you face in the nation championship or an open or whatever. Because multi-day events definitely separate the men from the boys, in my opinion, as far as getting lucky is concerned. But elaborate on that for me. You know, why that was so important to you to make it in the points and also through the nation championship.
Well, you know, I had kind of, I was doing well in the opens for, you know, all the way, you know, all of them I did pretty well in. And so I was kind of concentrating on that. I didn't put a lot of emphasis on that nation championship because I was so concentrated on, you know, doing good in the opens, making it that way. And then one of my buddies kind of told me, he's like, dude, you got to go worry about that one because there's a lot on the line and you only got to beat 50 people. And I'd worked so hard to get there. That's something a lot of people don't understand about the nation. You don't just show up and fish the tournament. You got to beat everybody in your state. You got to get on the state team, beat everybody in your state at regionals to get to nationals. Then nationals, you got to win the tournament. You can't just show up, hang out, get a top 10 and you're going to the elite. Right. So you got to win one person out of the entire nation, which is, I don't know how many thousands of people.
It's a lot of people, man. It's such a hard route to go. And I don't think it gets the respect it deserves.
It doesn't. And honestly, I didn't give it the respect because I was doing so well in the opens, that I just kind of didn't blow it off. But you know, after my buddy Josh Miller told me that, he's like, then I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go pre-practice. And I went down there and did that. And then, yeah, whatever happened, happened. I won. And then I'm driving back. And one of my buddies, who I'm, you know, good friends with him, he's fished the FLW Tour. He has for years. And he's like, yeah, that's really cool. That's kind of the easy way to do it. And you might not get any effect from some of the veteran people because you got there that way. People might kind of look down on you or like bully you about that, which, you know, you don't know me at all, but I don't do well with bullying situations.
Me either.
At all.
Me either.
Things get handled one way or the other. And so I was like, I was kind of pissed. I'm like, and he told me, he's like, I'm honestly just kind of jealous because I'm kind of in a rut right now and I should be doing something different, blah, blah, blah. And so, but he was like, kind of down talking it. Like,
yeah, kind of taking a shot.
I'm all jacked up. And I'm like, listen, man, I'm in third in the opens too.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Like, I freaking got to, I mean, in a lake, if I go down there and catch five fish a day, I'm going to make it that way too.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he's like, well, yeah, it might be smart to do that because people might respect you more. And I'm just like, yeah. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go do it just because A, I want to double qualify. B, I want to get more experience on every lake I can go to. C, it's like, that's all I do. I don't work anymore. All I do is fish. So it's like, I might as well go down there and fish and try to win a little money and have fun. So I did and double qualified. And now, honestly, the whole double qualification thing, it hasn't been like, it never got mentioned at that tournament when they announced who made it. It never got mentioned in some of the Bass articles, which kind of was frustrating to me because I wanted it.
That's
to
an
be
accomplishment,
known.
Man. Yeah, man.
Yeah, I want it to be known like that I made it both ways and made it pretty handily in the opens too. I mean, I got 223rds and 215ths. So it's like, I mean,
not
it's
easy.
Not like
not
great,
easy.
but good. I caught a limit in every tournament that I fished this year, every day.
That's incredible.
Whether it was up here or wherever. So it's like, yeah, I you know, and plus just my story of walking away from a 16-year career at 38 years old to go chase the dream of, you know, fishing the elites. It's like, you know, I'm freaking proud of making it in the nation. I'm proud of making it in the opens. And I don't know. It's a big deal to me.
So talk about that career. What did you do before? And when is that, you know, when did you feel, I mean, obviously it's this year and it's all working out for you, but when did you think and what made you think, okay, the time is right. This is, if I'm going to do this, this is when I'm going to do it.
Well, and this has come up in a lot of the other interviews and podcasts that I've done. And I've,
there are other fishing podcasts out there, Pat.
I think there's one other one. Yeah. So I have a great relationship with the company at Shields All Sports, you know, out in your neck of the woods. They're not out there. We're primarily Midwest, out
yeah.
west.
Yeah, like I know 28,
Shields. 28, 30 stores, employee owned, great company. They're my title sponsor still. I had worked there since I graduated from college in 2006, running the fishing shop, buying, selling tackle. Yeah, I had done that forever. And I always wanted to fish, you know, fish. That's what I wanted to do, was fish the elites. And I was planning on doing it by the time I was 30. And I got sucked into the corporate machine of, like everybody tells you mm-hmm. to do, get a job, make mm-hmm. a bunch of money, retire, you know, plan for when you're 60 years old. And I did that. And I kind of lost that focus and, you know, dream of doing it, because it's like, I've got a lot of time in, I'm making decent money, my retirement's looking good. If I can make it another 10 years, I'll be fine forever and I can do whatever I want. That's what I had accepted, that fact. Well, then I start seeing people like Fighter, you know, Matt Steffen, Josh Douglas, Austin Felix, Chris Groh, all these people that I fished against growing up and done pretty well against them. They're all doing it. And I'm just like, God, I want to do it. And I was starting, it was starting to eat at me to the point where it was, something had to change. And I was sat down, and this has come up in other ones too. And I sat down for a pay review at work. And this was a year and a half, 2 years ago. And it didn't go very well. And I walked out of that room and I was like super frustrated with the whole situation. And I called my dad and I was like, hey, I'm going to quit my job and try to go after the elites. What do you think? He said, yeah, do it. You're going to regret it. If you don't do it, now's a good time. And I think you can do it. So I was like, all right. And then I came home and I talked to my wife, who was my fiance at the time. She said, yeah, I think you should do it if it's going to make you happy. Because that's what it all boiled down to me, you know. For me was, I need to start living my life with some more happiness, regardless of money and all that stuff. That was the priority for me. So when she said to go do it, that was when I decided to pull the trigger, and I started to plan and figure out an exit strategy, get set financially, get everything in order. And then this spring, come pay review time, you know, instead of talking about that, it was, you know, it was me telling him I was done.
Wow. So this spring is when that comes to an end.
Yep. And like I said, I have a great relationship with him. And I was that conversation really ate me up for a long time. I was so frustrated with it because I worked so hard for the company and done a lot for them. They've done a lot for me. And now I look at it differently, because for 16 years, I let greed motivate the decisions and the way that I lived my life. And that's what that conversation was about. And I didn't want to do that anymore. So I was always mad about that conversation, took it really personally. But now I'm so happy that it happened, because that was the last push I needed to make the move into going full in, chasing the dream. And honestly, that's, I think, why I fished so well this year, is I didn't have any of that on my mind. I wasn't going to these events thinking, well, when I get back, I got to go to work and I'm going to be behind on things. It's like, no, I'm going to go to this event, I'm going to fish it. When I'm done, I'm going to go home for a little bit and then I'm going to go to the next one. That's why I think I fished so well, is I just didn't have any of that on my mind. All I was worrying about was being happy, keeping my wife happy, and fishing well enough to make it to the elites.
It's incredible, man. Oh, I love stories like that. And you know, I heard you say you're rooming with Matt. There's a lot to be said for, and that's Matt's deal in life, you know?
That's he's just why we happy, click.
Man. Yeah, man. He just, I mean, and you're from polar opposite worlds, you know, yeah. regionally, right? Like where you're yeah. from, but we're all bonded by the same love and passion for pro fishing and bass fishing in general. And I love that you said that you were staying with Matt out in Texas, because his story is very similar to that, man. It is. It's just be happy, do what you want to do. And, you know, and I think that, and you said you're 38.
Yep,
so,
38.
So I'm 37. We're right there, same age. And I feel like, you know, a lot of folks that are older than us, and probably most folks our age, are very consumed with that typical career. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? There's nothing wrong with it. But it is that very atypical. It's how that we were, you know, most of us were raised. But it seems like the younger generations coming up behind us now are really starting to grasp happiness more than just a 9-to-5. They want experiences more than just sitting in a cubicle, if that makes sense. And you're starting to see that more and more and more. And man, it's hard for me, and we may get a lot of flack from this in the comments, but it's hard for me to look at my kids and go, yeah, you got to go to college and then just get a normal gig. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because I'm a dreamer. I'm still a dreamer. I'll always be a dreamer. I'm always going to be chasing this crazy thing, whatever that means, right? Whether it's a podcast or out on tour or live commentary for the NPFL, whatever this, you know, making a living in the fishing industry has been my dream since I was a kid, and I get to live it out every week. But it's not over. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not satisfied, and I always want to keep going. So, man, I have just a ton of respect for you, because, dude, it takes a lot of freaking guts to just, especially at 38 years old, to go, you know what? Here we go. We're pulling the plug on what we know and jumping full on into my childhood dream. And, dude, you freaking did it. How many people can say they do that? And, you know, for every you, I know there's a lot of stories of failure, or maybe it didn't happen that quick. Because just look at the Opens this year, how competitive they were. And, dude, you freaking double qualified. And you're going to the damn Bassmaster Classic, man. How do you feel right now? It's got to be amazing.
It is amazing. I mean, I feel great about doing, you know, and obviously making the Classic was a bonus. That really wasn't even on my radar. I mean, it was great to make it. But yeah, I feel good. Like, everything's kind of working. And the crazy thing is, I haven't felt any pressure or stress. I've had zero stress this year. And that's weird to say that, because I have lived a stressful life before. I was stressed every day, and I haven't had any. Like, I just go down to these tournaments and do what I do, you know, outwork a lot of people, figure what I can figure out, not worry about what other people are doing. And I, you know, it worked out, and I feel great. I haven't honestly had a lot of time for it all to set in, because it's just been go, go, go all year. And like right now, I'm sitting at home, I'm planning my pre-practice trips to the St. John's and Fort Loudoun. Like, I'll be home for a few weeks and I'm driving to Florida again. So it feels good, but I still have a ton of work to do to keep the momentum going.
So let me ask you this, and this is something I was talking about with Jason Christie last week, who, by the way, you're going to be fishing against.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I was going to say, you fished against him all year. You get to do it again on the Elite Series. Him and Hackney and all these just stone cold killers, man. I can't wait to see all y'all mix it up. I think the incoming rookie crowd this year is one of the best we've seen in a very long time. And then, of course, getting some of those guys back from BPT, it's going to be something to watch. But with this very short turnaround, you know, you officially made the Elite Series, obviously, at the Nation Championship in November, but now it's official with this double qualification after Lay Lake. But it's a very short turnaround until that St. John's River tournament. For you as a rookie, I know you spoke about your title sponsor. Have you been able to add financial help for next year? Are you working on that right now? Is it too short of a turnaround? You know, I know how budgets work with a lot of these companies. Some of these folks are making decisions in October and November, and, you know, then with COVID, a lot of weird stuff's going on. How has that been for you, Pat?
You know, I'm really fortunate that I have so many people that have helped me. You know, I never ask any of these companies for anything that are helping me out. They are helping me out because they know who I am, whether it was from what I did for work or personally. And honestly, I've been pretty smart for several years where I'll be fine for quite a while, but I've got some great companies on board where, and a lot of them aren't necessarily related to the fishing industry, but Wolf Ridge Manufacturing was my title sponsor last year. He makes high-end commercial wood splitters, started in his garage building one machine. Now he's got a multi-million dollar a year company.
That's awesome.
And he's helping me out. Bauer Built Tire, Max Built Off-Road, Legends Marketing. I've got, you know, Big Bite and Sunline I've been with forever. So, yeah, I've put together a pretty good string of
heck yeah, man,
companies and Skeeter boats that are helping me out. Now, it's not like, you know, I'm making some crazy salary off these people, but it's going to help me pay a lot of the way, which is huge for me. And like you said, being so late in the year, it's not like it's easy to go out and find somewhere that has a lot of marketing budget left.
That's a fact.
So, yeah, I'm very fortunate there where I've just got some great friends that have companies and I've just have some good relationships I've maintained over the years of fishing and working where they're jacked for me, man. They think, up in our area, there's just not a lot of people that take that chance to do it. And if they do, of those people that take the chance to do it, there's just not very many that make it. So these people, I mean, I don't even know how many people are going to the Classic.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's very all these cool. people, we're going. So I have tons of support, you know, financially and just, you know, support, fan support. It's awesome.
That's awesome, man. And y'all, you guys that are listening to this, make sure you're following Pat on Instagram, Facebook, all the usual suspects there, because I have a feeling that 2021 is going to be very interesting. He's going to be in the mix at a lot of events. You hear him talk about river fishing. You know, you guys are going to a lot of rivers. I don't know if you've looked at that schedule or not, buddy, but it's a lot of rivers, a lot of current, yeah, a lot of different things on there. I think you're gonna feel right at home. I got to ask you this, and I feel like a jerk for asking it, but how in the hell do you say your last name? Because I don't want to butcher it anymore. Mercer and I've had a great time with it, but
I know.
You said I know, and you said you don't like to be bullied. And I swear to God, we weren't bullying.
No, I get it. Everybody says Schlapper, but it's Schlopper.
Schlopper, okay. Yep. Schlopper. Yep. All right, I'm gonna get the MC.
I've accepted Schlapper too, because everybody says that, but Schlopper is the way to say
it. You know how Mercer is, man, and I feel like he was really excited about getting to say Bass, the Pat the Bass Schlapper, every time he came on stage. So you may have to give him some leeway there.
He can do it. You know, I still think Chris Bowes, every time I come across the stage, holds the mic down and says, how do you say your last name?
I'm sure.
I feel like he does that every time.
I'm sure he does it, but
hopefully by the end of the year, people know how
that's
to say
right,
it.
Dadgummit. That's what you got to hope, man. That's funny, man. I had to ask, and I had a couple people comment. They're like, you're saying it wrong. I'm like, listen, I am a redneck from southern Middle Tennessee. I will assure you, I'm going to say a lot of words wrong.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, it's part of my life.
My last name is obviously spelled Dunkin, but my entire life that has been butchered in a million different ways. It's never said wrong, really, but it has been spelled wrong many, 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 many times in my life. So I got to ask you, and you can tell me, hey, man, I don't want to talk about that, or I do, and this is the last thing, and I'll let you get back to getting ready for Christmas and taking it easy. But someone sent me a comment you made on a post, and they said that you saw some shenanigans go on during the opens. That was frustrating for you. Do you want to get into that or no?
You know, I do, because I need to clear it up too.
Okay. Set this up, you're busting your ass legitimately qualifying for the Elite Series. I feel like there are a lot of people that want free passes because of things they've done in the past. There are a lot of people that think it should be easier than it is, and I am not one of those people. I think it should be hard.
Me neither, and that's why I wanted to talk about that.
Okay.
Because
let's do
before we get to the situation that I thought I saw. You know, I've been listening to all these other podcasts and different things, and there are all these people talking about all these guys that should be able to just go back to the elites and fish without qualifying, and they've got their credential or whatever to say that they should. And like, no, that's crap. I don't care who you are, what you've done 20 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever. You should have to go prove yourself at the level that I did. And these other guys, Josh Strasner,
who freaking
dominated.
Yes.
You should have to go do that. I don't care. I mean, look at all the guys who tried to do it this year that were big name guys and got stomped.
That's right.
Cash one check in 8 events, and now you think you just get a free pass to the elite. And I'm not saying those people are saying they should. There's just a lot of other people saying that
for sure
people should.
Mercer and I did an entire podcast about this, who should qualify for the elites, and it was overwhelming. People are like, oh, you got to let so-and-so in because he's got a big YouTube following. Well, shit, if we go by that, you could let a lot of YouTubers in that have never even fished a bass tournament. Like, that's not exactly a fair qualification for the Bassmaster Elite Series or any other pro trail, in my opinion.
And there, I think you have a lot of those YouTube anglers, and there's, you know, obviously people that made it this year, one in particular, who's a big YouTube guy.
Oh, for sure,
decent fisherman, but it's like, well, what about the guy who, like a Josh Strasner, I keep bringing him up because he freaking dominated. It's like,
he's caught him for years, dude, but I know it because I'm down here close to Alabama, obviously. I've competed against Josh, but that dude is an amazing angler.
I know that, and it's just like, why should they? I think these people that are truly into tournament fishing, not just, you know, watching a guy go do whatever he's doing on YouTube, I think the guys and these kids who are truly following along in the bass world, they want to see these guys, these sleepers who have been fishing and doing well. You know, they want to see them guys earn their way to the highest level. I mean, that's what I feel like people want. That's what I want. I'm the biggest bass fish. I mean, I know so many obscure things about some of these people fishing, and it's like, that's what I want to see. You know, I mean, when you have some of these guys who left and want to come back or whatever, and they did good before, but then they go fish all these opens and they don't cash a check, or they're not, that's not right. It's just not fair to us guys that worked hard to do it and did it.
Well, and to me, it devalues the opens.
It 100% devalues
because
the opens.
Because if you're placing that Elite Series carrot, qualification carrot on those opens, and that's the main thing you're giving away, because the payout, let's be honest, like, payout's not great unless you win.
It's not.
You know, you got the classic qualification carrot in there, but other than that, like, the payout's not awesome. It costs just as much to fish those as it does an Elite Series, essentially. You got to be gone that long from home, a lot of travel involved, and a lot of expenses. And at the end of the day, if you're just going, hey, we're just going to hand out a few spots. And look, I want to say that 2 years ago when everything was pillaged and everything split, like, they had no choice but to grab some guys, right? Like, you got to fill it. That was different.
I agree with that somewhat. I do agree with that somewhat. Some of the people I'm not necessarily, you know, whatever. But, yeah, I understand that, but not now.
From a business perspective, they had to do it. They had no choice. Yep. But now, where the Bassmaster Elite Series is at now, you have a ton of great anglers, ton of great stories, great personalities over there. And I think that you diminish those opens, man, the second you start handing out get-out-of-jail-free cards, especially to guys that didn't compete in those opens, because it's not an excuse, man. Like, you can – everybody has bad years. Some people have 3 or 4 bad years. But it's not an excuse because you've caught them in the past and then you have 4 bad tournaments. You're like, oh, well, I should be in. No, really. No, and to me, if that's the qualification standard we've set, then you don't belong in. If you didn't make it through that, then you go back to that. I call it opens purgatory. But you go back to purgatory next year and you fight again. I mean,
it should be. And like you said about, you know, there's not a lot of money in the opens. There's not. Like, if you're fishing the opens to try to, you know, win a bunch of money, that's
not there.
Very likely. I mean, like, I look at whatever.
Same with the Toyota Series.
Yeah, I won like $12,000, $13,000 out of there. I guarantee you I didn't come out ahead. No. And I was, you know, and I got checks in every one of them. So it's like, I didn't do it for that. And my buddy's like, whoa, are you winning any money in that? It's like, well, I'm a little bit, but I'm not making any money. I'm not fishing the opens to make money. I'm making it, I'm fishing it to make the elites.
That's right.
That's an investment that I'm making in hopefully my future of fishing.
That's right.
So, but yeah, that's, I just, and that's why I'm glad that Christie and Hackney, they did it the right way.
They made it
legit. Right. So, you know,
they are two people
that are the biggest, you know, they're two of the biggest names in the sport, and they went out there, fished hard, made it. So they earned their way back in, you know, and I applaud them for that. That's a huge deal. So now that should set the tone for the rest of these guys that think they can just come walk back in. I don't agree with it. So hopefully they stick to their guns and don't give out any Magic Legends exemptions or whatever they call it. So that's my take on that.
I think after the dust settles the next couple of weeks, I don't think we're going to see any of that from what I'm hearing. I don't think so. I think there were some hopefuls that thought that that was going to happen. And I think that that is, you know, that's not going to be the case. I think the list is the list, and I'll be shocked. I'll put it that way. I'll be shocked if we see some kind of Willy Wonka golden ticket handed out at this point in the game. And to me, if you're one of those recipients of a Willy Wonka's golden ticket, I couldn't look a dude like Pat Schlopper in the eyes and be like, I deserve to be here next to you, man, at boat check. I couldn't do that.
No, I agree. I don't know how that would be looked at amongst, even like, you know, how are they going to look Hackney in the eye or Christie?
That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
Let alone me, some turd from, you know, Wisconsin that, you know, that it's just, I don't know. I hope they stick with it and they don't do it in the future. They built a really good field with the people that stuck with it and earned their way back. I think that they're going to get a lot more respect from the people watching and all the other anglers if they stick with it. So
totally agree,
stick with
man.
What they say.
Yeah. I totally agree. And I appreciate your honesty on that. Cause I mean, you know, you're giving up a lot. You look at what you sacrificed and you had a great year and you made it happen, man. And I think that, you know, you look at Atkins, you know, Justin's a good friend of mine, been knowing Justin a lot of years, and he had his back against the wall. He gave up the BPT thing, and, you know, he could have begged and pleaded and said, hey, I'm a Forest Wood Cup champion. Hey, I'm this. Hey, I'm that. But instead, he just showed up for 8 tournaments and fished his ass off, you know, and he
bounced back and forth.
That's right.
You know, he had to catch him.
That's right.
He had to catch
going
him
into lay.
Tournament.
That's right. Going into lay, he had no choice. And I can tell you from speaking with him, I mean, in practice, like, dude was worried. I mean, he was legit worried. That's the nature of all of us tournament fishing to a certain extent. But he's like, yeah, man, I just don't know what it's going to take. I don't know what I found. Oh my God. You know, and I think he felt a little bit better after day one, but he earned it. I mean, that's the point. All you guys earned it. And that's a really big deal, man. Well, I gotta say, dude, I really, really appreciate you taking the time to come on and I'm glad we finally got to do this. And it was great getting to hear your story firsthand, and I want to say I hope you kill it, man. I'm going to be pulling for you, no doubt about that.
Cool. I appreciate it. That was fun. It's a couple of my buddies that have been listening and watching. They every time you would mention my name, they talked about you again.
That's funny. Yeah, dude, me and Mercer, we've worn out because I brought up on one of our shows about Federation Nation, you know, not getting enough.
Yep.
Publicity and the BFL All-American, that type thing, because I think it's those are two championships I think that are equally as hard to win as any other championship, just because of the way you got to get to them and then the competition's so fierce, and I think sometimes your average bass fishing fans just tend to focus on the big, you know, quote, big events, and those are big events to me. They always will be. So congrats on a hell of a year, dude, and good luck on 2021. It's gonna be fun.
All right. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you having me on.
Hey, thank you. Have a great Christmas.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks, Pat. Pat Schlopper, we're finding out. Schlopper. Really appreciate Pat coming on. He's a confident dude. He is very, he's a very good angler. You just look at what he did this year. It's very impressive. I'm anxious to see what he does next year. And what an incredible story. Just gives up a career. Gives up a freaking career, man. And I know not everybody can do that. Not everybody's in that position in life for one reason or another. But takes a lot of guts to do what Pat did. And I think that, he should be commended for it. And I think guys like him, guys like Matt Robertson, they're going to be really interesting stories to watch nationally next year on the Bassmaster Elite Series. So thank you to Pat. And thank you to all of you for watching Low Budget Live every single week and listening to Low Budget Live and LD and the MC. I really, really appreciate it. Going to take you guys out with some Biloxi Blues as usual. I hope you all have a great Christmas. As you know, the holidays, it's not always an easy time for everybody. It's certainly that way around here. We missing Miss Teresa, missing my mom. This is always a rough time of year. She loved Christmas. But you guys, hope you all have an amazing Christmas. I'll see you Wednesday on LD and the MC for a special Christmas episode of LD and the MC. And until then, have an awesome Christmas, okay? This will be the last time you'll see my face until after Christmas, so on LBL anyway. So thank y'all so much for everything this year. Got one more in 2020. One more LBL in 2020. One more, that's it. One more. Some Biloxi Blues. Be sure to hug your mama. Merry Christmas, everybody. I'm going to leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west, north, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to